Dave has had some very deep and significant spiritual input. We've been away at the Pioneer weekend. So one thing happened at the Pioneer weekend, which no doubt he'll tell you more about. Another one happened this morning. And I don't know, Chloe, would you be prepared to come and tell us about that? Well, the input that his niece or nephew, it was his niece, wasn't it? Yeah, you come and you all want to hear what the input from the niece, don't you? So the word that he got at Pioneer was that he is to be courageous. And I thought this was good. He's pretty courageous anyway. You know, you look at Dave and, you know, with the beard and everything, you think of roaring lion. And, you know, that goes to the spirit as well. But I think the word this morning was equally significant. And Chloe's going to tell you all about it.
Well, the word was man up, wasn't it, Dave? Dave's never changed a nappy before, and we've been looking after my niece and nephew, and little Jamie hasn't done a poo in a couple of days, so we've been prepared that he might drop a bomb at some point, and he did. So I was like, come on, Dave, just do the nappy. You know, you've never done one before, it's be a good experience for you. And he's like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to retch. I can't do it. And I was like, Ellie, tell him to man up. She was like, man up. And it was very effective, and he did it. Well done.
Thank you. Okay, you can sit down now. As you all know from the weekly newsletter, Chris has been leading, she oversees the sort of various prayer initiatives that we do as a church, and she's been leading going out and praying on the streets. And so the reason we do that, it's like if you're have an allotment or something, or you're doing any gardening, you soften the ground, you know? You stick a spade, and... and you soften the ground. And so that's why we're going out praying. We prayed around all the streets around here. So last Wednesday afternoon, Chris and Dave and I, we went out and we crossed over the road. What's that? Wickham Road, I think. And then we went down one of the roads going off, which goes to Oak Tree Post Office. And we all do it in different ways, but, you know, my way is you go and stand in front of a house and you pray for all the people in the house and you get little clues, lots of kids' sort of paraphernalia outside. It's pretty good to pray about the relationship between the parents and the children, isn't it? And if you see other things going on, you see a rota outside a house, so you could probably pray for the elderly people in it and all these sort of things. Then also you still stand there and God gives you downloads prophetically and just says, why don't you pray about this? Now, you may be right, you may be wrong, but there's no downside if you're wrong, and there's huge upside if you're right. Anyway, I was standing there, and this lady walked down the road, and I said, oh, it's okay, we're just praying over the houses. And she said, that's nice, you ought to come and pray outside my house, she said. And she said, I'm sort of going through the menopause, and I get a bit depressed from time to time. And I said, well, where do you live? And she said, oh, well, on the Wickham Road. I said, well, we already prayed there a couple of weeks ago. I said, have you been feeling better recently? And she said, well, no. and then she said, actually, I was just talking to my mum the other day, and I was telling her I was feeling a bit better. And I said, well, look, can I pray for you now? Now, meanwhile, Chris is hovering on the other side of the road to make sure that this woman doesn't have bad ideas about me. So I prayed for her. And it was a very special time. You got that sort of sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And she looked at me, she said, you know, it's so nice to meet Christians who have a strong faith and believe and do the things that that, you know, we would expect. So that was really nice. And she walked on. Now, one of the reasons we're doing this is in the future weeks, what I want to do is to get an invitation card for the service here. And I want to be able to go and post it in every letterbox in all the houses around and inviting people to come to our church. Having dug the ground, softened the ground, having had interactions like that, the likelihood of a response is so much greater. And so I was encouraged. So today I'm going to talk about this, outreach and evangelism in River Church. And I've got to push this, haven't I? So, there you are. Yes. Now, sometimes we get terribly worked up about what we do in church and what we do under a church umbrella. Now, there's no political significance in the colours of these, but this is just so that you got something to look at if you get bored of looking at me. So we'll put that one down there. We will come back to it. But I think why don't you just look around? Look around right across the room. Just have a look. And, if you can't see something, stand up and have a little look. But you are surrounded by extraordinary people. And the interesting thing is, as Christians, when you're born again, you're no longer a human being, you're a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being having a supernatural experience. Human experience. And you can't... Sorry?
Human experience.
Yeah, having a human experience. You can't... Just because I told you about the nappies, that's what this is. Anyway, as a result of that, you actually can't help yourself on reaching out and doing good works. You're oozing. You're oozing good works. You're oozing the love of God. And therefore, when you see situations where you can actually step out or reach out a hand and help people, you do it. And the reason I ask you to look around is because there are lots of conversations that can happen here later. Things that perhaps you don't know about people and you might find interesting. Tim, I know, is involved. You're still involved with Relate. He's involved with Relate. You know what Relate is? It's a charity. I think it's in Maidenhead, and they help people who are having difficulties in their relationships, particularly in marriage. So Tim's very involved with that. Who knew about that? Well, lots of you. Okay, so those who didn't can go and talk to him about that. Alistair Bullen, who's taken the day off for some reason, and probably because of the Pioneer Conference, he's involved with all sorts of things, with Oasis and Academy Schools and all sorts of things. Sandra, his wife, brands a lot of the Christian charities around the place, and she's set up a charity called When They Get Older to help people understand how to look after their elderly parents. I've just written down a few things. If I miss you out, then please don't get upset with me. Jill Sandeman, who I think everyone feels is a superstar. Actually, let's give Jill a round of applause, because I just think she's... Now, I'm probably giving away a confidence, and I might get into trouble here, but Jill did one of these heart style things recently, and she had to evaluate herself, and then she had to get a load of other people to evaluate her. Now, this is where Jill sees herself, and wherever everybody else sees her, right up at the ceiling. But she is an extraordinary woman who does all manner of different things in her community in Freith. And so she's a good person to talk to. Michael Marcel, who also isn't here, hey-ho, he has been praying for the people in his village in Temple for the past year. And he walks quite a lot. He goes up and he prays around the village. Then round about the new year, he felt that he had to write to all the people in the village. And he wrote to them and he said, look, I've been praying for you, for all of you, for the last year. And I really want God to bless you. And if I can help in any way, let me know. And he got one or two positive responses from that. And I thought, what a challenge for the rest of us. Nuala's a superstar. I have to say that's Mother's Day and all that. But We had three new people moving in our road. It cost me a fortune in bottles of wine. But she went down and we delivered these. I stayed in the car, but she delivered them and gave them cards and things. And I was just thinking, for all of us, we all live in a road. If we took 10 houses either side, and we did a sort of quick prayer walk and said, "Lord Jesus, just pray for these people in this house. I just pray blessing on them and pray blessing on their children and on all the things that they're doing." That's not too big a commitment, is it? So we could all do that. And I think prayer works and we can make a big difference. So I mustn't stay on these two. Alistair Hanford's another superstar. He's a governor at Borlase. He's doing lots of work with the boat club and lots of things. Chris Lenton is a total charity superstar. He's involved with so many different things, and he's worthwhile having a chat to see what his latest is. And he's involved with Harry's school, and Sally's involved there, and she's another superstar. But we can't clap everybody, can we? Who else have I got here? Emma Hawkins has decided to do this course on play therapy to reach people. She's doing that very much from a Christian standpoint. Andy and Lina, we all know, with Lynx and Dyslexia a Company and all sorts of other things. They're sort of oozing all this sort of stuff. Kathy Stewart is going off to Malawi again soon, so you can talk to her about that. I think she's just amazing, and she runs her company, and I'm told she has a lot of opportunity just to reach out to the people who come and have their 3D scans. So that's good. Who else have I got here? Evelyn, who everyone knows is a complete superstar, who reaches out and helps so many people. And she's clearing two houses at the moment. We went there the other day. And you know that television program where about hoarders? It's not that she was a hoarder, but somebody she's helping is and just clearing all that stuff. She's amazing. Do you know that Chloe manages 300 volunteers in addition to her husband? I mean, that is quite extraordinary. Emma over there, Emma Dunbut, she raises funds for something called Bread Tin, is that right? And they support philanthropic causes. And I'm sure that if I look around at others of you, if I knew all the facts, you're all doing amazing things. And as far as umbrellas are concerned, you're doing it under your own umbrella just because you're such good people, you love God, and you are pressing in to express it. You know when the Bible says faith without works is dead and everyone gets terribly condemned? I think it can be read in a different way. You know, if you have faith, you will ooze Holy Spirit, you will ooze love, and as a result, your faith will be demonstrated in the works. Now, we go through different seasons in life, don't we? There's some times where we've got a lot more time to ooze more broadly. There are other times where we can't because, you know, we've got a couple of little kids. And we're trying to bring them up and we're trying to perhaps do some work, a job, a sort of paid job as well. I mean, we just don't have time for anything. It's pretty amazing that we hold it all together. And that's great. But, you know, what are you doing? You're saying that I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at my little kids. And I really want the best for them. And I want to sow into their lives. That's oozing. That's oozing love, oozing Holy Spirit. And so really what I want to say is you're great. You're extraordinary people. You're doing good things. And I really want to encourage and honour everyone who's reaching out. I always feel that when we do things and we're not doing it selfishly, then really we're doing it because God's put it on our hearts and we're saying that he's worthy and worship. And so you're reaching out, doing things because God is worthy. You've got all this oozing stuff going on. And that things that you're doing is worship to God just as much as standing here and singing songs in worship. So be encouraged. That's that umbrella. Right. Now then. Why do we do it? Right. Well, at this conference that we were on at the weekend, they're saying that every church needs to have a vision. And we have a vision, and I'm going to show you what it is in a moment. Dave is our leader. He's come up with this vision. We're all here because we love Dave, and because we trust, we love God, and we trust the vision, and we trust his leadership. He very wisely has taken input from his leadership team. But the bottom line is it's Dave's vision. Now then, I've split that because that vision, I don't know if any of you are in business and you know about balanced scorecards, where you have a CEO at the top and then you delegate all the things down. They delegate authority to do things. They can't delegate responsibility because that goes up to the top. And so it's similar sort of idea here. You have the vision at the top and then you say, right, how are we going to deliver that vision? Now, I think God split the world into two sets, right? So there are Christians. So that's people that believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord, confess with their mouths that God raised him from the dead. If you have any doubt whether you're a Christian or not, it's very easy to make sure that you are. I went through a phase, some time ago, I admit, but I went through a phase, am I really a Christian? Well, do I really believe that Jesus is Lord? Yeah, I do. I really want to make Jesus the central, the most important person in my life. I want him to run my life. I don't want to run it myself. And am I prepared to tell people about that? Then yes, I am. And so when I became a Christian, I asked God to forgive me for all the sins and stuff. I was quite young, so there weren't too many then. There've been more since. But anyway, you know, it's an ongoing thing. You keep praying and you ask God to forgive you. And so there are Christians. And then there are pre-Christians. Now, there's some good scriptures. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. Doesn't mean that everyone will come to repentance, but it means that's the heart of the Father. He wants everyone to come to repentance. John 3:16, which is well known, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's plan is nicely entwined with River's plan, and it's that pre-Christians, that's everybody in the world, has an opportunity to become Christians. And we will touch different people in different ways. So, this is the vision. For every person in and around Marlow to have the opportunity to discover Jesus for real, to build relationship and influence culture. So that's what he wants to happen. He wants everybody in Marlow to have an opportunity to become Christians and to discover Jesus for real and to build relationships in our community and influence the culture of this community. So, does the Bible agree with Dave? I want you all to read this. All right. I've got two, actually. This is the first one. So I'll go 1, 2, 3, and then you start. So 1, 2, 3. Right, anybody not understand that? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? No sort of wiggle room. This is the heart of God. And this is what Jesus said. And so we are commissioned to be disciples to our families, to our roads, to our towns, to the nations. And different ones of you will do different things. Kathy's going to Malawi. Why is she going? She's going to share the love of God in that place. She's going to impact the culture and the atmosphere in that place. And there are many others of you going to have opportunities to go overseas in a mission context, I believe. But also within the country and also with the town. And so here's the second scripture. So you can read this as well. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I've got to do it first. Oh, wrong. Yeah, there you are. Go for it. 1, 2, 3.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law gets a free reading and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard.
So there you go. If you were asked to describe your to you know, like they do in police stations, you know, what did he look like, and you had to describe yourself, could you do it? I couldn't. I mean, if I see somebody robbing something, I probably couldn't do it either. But I certainly couldn't do it myself. Do I look at myself in the mirror? Well, yes, of course. But, you know, the bottom line out of this is, you know, you don't just read the Bible, but you need to do it. And there's so much in the Bible which talks about reaching out to the poor and the needy and the widows and the fatherless and the vulnerable and all the rest of it, that when we read our Bible, we ought to be looking for those things and then we can write them down. Now then, there are two ministries of the church which I want to focus on today, because I think it is important that we honour these things. So this is the under the church umbrella. This is things that the church organises, encourages, and gets people involved with. So you've got all the things you're doing just of your own volition because you're oozing, and this is the stuff that the church is doing, which we want to really encourage you to get involved with. Because when you do get involved with, it will have an impact on you. It's not just the people you're touching who will be impacted, it's the people, you, yourself, as you reach out. God will teach you things and he will show you things. There was a guy in Hong Kong and he's sleeping in a park and I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. He said, my feet are really painful. It's raining and I got these terrible corns on my feet. And so I thought, oh dear, right. So I said, hey, Lord Jesus, please bless this guy and heal his feet. And as I was doing that, I felt God say to me, look, John, there's a chemist round the corner. Yes. Go and buy some corn plasters and give them to him. So I went off and I went into the chemist. I bought the corn plasters. I gave it to him. And you know, that's the end of that. Then about 6 months later, there was a friend of mine who was staying with us, and he'd gone out to pray for people in parks as well. And he found this guy, not because I told him, it just by coincidence. He said, you know, do you know Jesus? He said, yes. There was a man who came up to me, and he was praying for my feet and my corns, and he went and he got me some corn plasters. And so, yeah, I know about Jesus. Mm. And I thought, poor. Yeah. One, the love of God letting me know 6 months later, which was just awesome. But two, that it had an impact on that guy. So anyway, when you do reach out and you do get involved and you do get involved with the different things that we're doing, then you will find that it'll minister to you as well as you ministering to it. So that's enough for me for a little bit. I've asked... here we go. I've asked Beryl to come and to talk about River Life. Now, River Life has been going on for 20-odd years. She'll tell you more. It's an extraordinary ministry. I mean, 20 years is a long time, but I'm not going to say any more, but she's just amazing. Now, I want you to give her a round of applause, because when you're not used to standing at the front, it's a pretty scary thing. And so she's a superstar, and I think she might be bringing some people along with her. So... you're on. You.
And I do apologise for having to read. This isn't my natural habitat, so I have to put it down so I can read it so my mind doesn't go complete blank. So we got together to chat about what we could share this morning and realised that we've been together as a group and ministering and serving in River Life for over 20 years. And probably some people still don't know much about what we do. And to start with, John provided a lovely picture. They're still there of some babies to illustrate what we do in River Life. But our original vision was to reach out to lonely people, whether they're mothers and toddlers or senior citizens. In fact, anyone who would like to call in for a chat, and it still is. We aim to provide a place for people to come and feel they are really welcome, enjoy company and make friends, for busy mums to have a cup of tea made for them, and for the children to have a fun time with loads of space and start to learn to socialise. We haven't wavered from our initial vision, and we like to be known as a community group rather than a stereotypical mother and toddler group. Over the years, we must have had several hundred families through our doors at the youth centre, and many of them have remained friends to this day. It was a special occasion when one local family covering four generations came along. In fact, great-grandma was one of the first people who came to us 20 years ago. In the past, many of our families joined in enthusiastically with Holiday Week, including helping out either as assistant group leaders or leading the cookery sessions, and now we encourage them to come along to Messy Church and Lighthouse. Several of our ladies also used to enjoy the ladies' breakfast, saying how much they look forward to each one. It was a great time for them to have space for themselves away from their busy day-to-day lives. We've also held parenting courses based on the care for the family model and held a couple of alpha courses. We've had Dad and Me on a Saturday morning, and we provided bread and homemade soup lunches following our Wednesday morning sessions. None of these activities could take place without the support of a dedicated band of enthusiastic people. And I'd like to thank Evelyn, Alison, Margaret and Mary for their faithful support and encouragement over the years, and ask them to come up and share their stories about River Life. Actually, we don't have Margaret with us this morning. She wasn't feeling too good, and also Mary Brown isn't able to be here, are they? So let's ask Alison to share something, and then Evelyn.
Okay. Well, it has been over 20 years, and I can see it going on for a lot longer, but we certainly could do with some younger people to help. I will say that from the very beginning. But we do have a fantastic time with all these mums that come along, and we get, as Beryl says, we get the older people. They all pay their subs, which isn't a lot of money. And to help us with that, I try to get clothes and sometimes bric-a-brac, whatever it is, and we sell these at very cheap prices. And they all go, you know, 20p for a T-shirt or a baby growth, things like that. So we always need that sort of help. But it's just a very happy atmosphere, and you know, we all look forward to coming and praying for people. You know, we go around and sit with them and have a coffee and then say, you know, anything you need, or they know that we will pray and they'll come up to us and say, can we pray for us?
Well, it's been great being on the team, and Beryl's been a brilliant leader and made us all feel special, and we've all been really happy to serve in this way. And Mary and Margaret and I are usually tucked away in the kitchen, and when people come they say, I'd like a drink, tea or coffee, tea, decaf or ordinary, sugar or not. So we try and tailor make our drinks and whatever they're going to have to really bless them. And one of the ladies who came the other day, she came to us and she said, oh, it's so lovely to come to such a friendly group. She said, I've been to other groups and felt a bit intimidated, but coming here, there's such a lovely atmosphere. And that was a real blessing to us. Now, years ago, we used to have lots of single-parent mums. Now we have lots of childminders. We have grandparents. We have all sorts. But one of the single parent mums we called Lovely Louise. She was a very lovely girl. And in those days, we had Puzzle Corner. And my Rog, and before that, Reg and Uno, who many of you will remember, used to sit in the corner and just supervise puzzles and things with the children. And Louise came up to Roger one day, and she said, "You know, you're the only man that my little boy talks to in the week." And so this is a plea for any spare men who are around on a Wednesday. There are dads, there are granddads who come in from time to time, and it would be great to be able to restore our Puzzle Corner.
Thank you. And we mustn't forget John Sandiman, who came along and helped us for a long time as well. So thanks to John. Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you. Just one little story I'd like to share is when one of our mums came up to me once and said, "I'm feeling really spooked." And when I asked her why, she said she was walking down the path towards the centre with her two young children, one in the buggy and the other trotting along the side, and they started waving. And she looked around, she couldn't see anyone at all, so she said, "Who are you waving at?" And they said, "Look, there's Jesus standing at the door waving to us." So that's a real encouragement. So we feel really passionate about our families who come along, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to serve in this way. But as the others have said, we're a small team now, and we also rely on help from some other ladies who don't come along to River but come along each week to help out. We could really do with some extra help to enable us to hold Alpha and parenting courses and so on. So if you feel you would like to get involved with local people, please don't be shy to offer to join us. We need you. Thank you very much.
That's wonderful. And I'm really so impressed with those guys. I think Johnny gets involved with them now. I think Kaz has as well. And you know, lots of people have. But it'd be really good for anyone who finds that they are available to talk to these ladies and say, "Look, what can I do to help?" Right. Next one I just want to put a spotlight on is our youth clubs. Now, I went to these youth clubs about, 3 or 4 years ago. I tell you what, it was chaos. It was a complete nightmare. But since those days, things have moved on significantly, and Dan has been absolutely amazing there. And he's going to tell us something about what's been going on in the youth clubs.
Morning, everyone. Just before I start, Dave, big up yourself for changing that nappy this morning. I've got a little daughter. I got away with 9 months of not changing a pooey nappy. You should be proud. And the first one I did do, it took me 15 minutes to get away from the sink in order to change a nappy. Honestly, it was terrible. So, well played. Anyway, I'm Dan. I do some of the youth work up at the youth centre. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is that work and also the work that I'm doing inside this school, Great Marlow School, doing some one-to-one mentoring work. We have a youth club that on a Thursday night. It's a juniors club and a seniors club, both on the same night. I'll give you a little bit of history really quickly with regards to the youth clubs. It used to be that the juniors was on a Monday night and Thursdays was a seniors. And what we decided in September was to merge the two together and bring them both to the same night. And what the impact of that has had on the youth club is that the numbers have fallen a little bit, but it also means that the young people get to spend a little bit of time with the juniors and seniors mixed, so that when they do go through that transition from Monday to a Thursday, junior to senior, it's quite an easy flow. They can go straight through. And actually, some of the stories that, or one of the stories I want to tell about is about a young lad that comes to the junior youth club since September, who gets a little bit bullied at school. He's the sort of character that he kind of draws in getting the mick taken out of him. And he's in year six, and he's going to go up to Great Marlow School. He's coming here in September. And one of the things that I've done is, we've done as a team, is introduce him to the older the older chaps that come down on a Thursday. So when the older chaps come down at 7:45, and the younger chaps, the juniors, can leave at 8:15, so they get half an hour where they mix. And I've introduced him to everyone, and I've said, when he starts in September, have his back, look after him. And so I think that lad, that's one story where I can get that lad. Hopefully when he gets into Great Marlow School, he's just going to have something backing him up, just someone there for him. The other thing I want to talk about, Beryl said about her team of volunteers. We've got an amazing team of volunteers, and I wanted to. There's one story in particular with a young lad that had a bit of anxiety problems, a few anxiety attacks, and one of our volunteers, he's not here, James Cook, his name is. This kid had a panic attack out on a football pitch, and he didn't know what to do with himself. All he could do was stand like that in the corner and do nothing. Not move, not speak to anyone. The only person he spoke to, because James put in the time and stood there for 10 minutes just talking with him, just standing with him, not necessarily saying anything to him, but got him to a point where he came inside, had a little cry, sat on his own, but sat and got his parents in, and James sat next to him and just made sure that he was all right. That's what I think is representing Jesus in our community, certainly in Marlow, for those young people. There's another story from the juniors as well, because I think it's because the numbers have been a little bit low, and they're starting to build up. They're starting to get more and more and more gradually as time goes on. But it means that we can build relationships with the young people that are coming down, and we can build really good relationships with the ones that do come down. There's only about 12 of them, but it's to a point now where they're bringing their brothers and sisters along. One of them's asked me to speak. I've had to speak to their social worker and get involved with a little bit of stuff that's going on in her life, because she trusts us by coming down to the youth centre. And it means we can give that little bit of dedication, and we can also get them to see the senior club, so that when the transition comes in, it's quite easy and it flows. And with the senior club, now I don't know if any of you, I'll give you the, I started the work for River Church on the senior club nearly four or five years ago. I can't remember how many years. But when I started, there was no one. There was no one coming down apart from two boys. One of them is Jimmy Sparks, who's out in Edge now, and there's another lad. And I just want to... Jim is now a volunteer. He's 18. He's now a volunteer at the junior club. He's been coming religiously every week for the last 4 years, 5 years, whichever one it is. There's a guy called Alex as well, who has come down every week. He's now 18. He doesn't need to come down to the youth club. He doesn't need to be there, right? But the reason why he comes down is because of the relationships that we've built with him. And when he turns up, when he turns up, honestly, I have so much good banter with him. We just sit on our phones. He'll sit and he'll just, if I get my phone out and I'm looking at Facebook whilst we just sat together, he'll just sit and talk to me about everything that's going on. Am I moving away from the mic and getting quiet? Sorry. he'll just sit quite happily and just talk to me about stuff, everyday stuff. We'll look at social media together. We have proper good laugh, and the relationships are there. And for some reason, he wants to be a policeman. So that's what he's going to be going to do at college, is going to be a policeman. So I think the impact we've had on him has been great, because why would he keep coming back? He doesn't have to keep coming back, but he does. And he's not a leader. He's got no responsibilities, but he comes back week by week. And all of the lads, they're like year 10, 11 and 12, so like 14, 15, 16. Generally, we have a group that turn up every week. We will have a minimum of maybe 15, 16, but they'll be there every week. And we'll play some games of football, we'll play FIFA, we'll play pool, table tennis, whichever one it is. And all we want to do is just represent God in that and represent Jesus to them. There's no preachy bit going on there. We don't talk about God too much, or unless they ask a question, but it is about just shining out to those young people in that youth club. And when they ask us, why do we do this? You tell them why, which is the passion and the vision that God gave certainly myself and I think the team of volunteers to be there. And that's what it represents. And so, yeah, that's the youth clubs. I do as well in Great Marlow School is I do some one-to-one mentoring with young people that the school think have got a chance of being NEET, which means not in education, employment or training. Or, so they're in year 10 and 11, and they're not quite sure how their behaviour, their attendance is down, their behaviour points are up, and they're not quite sure how they're going to do in their GCSEs and where they're going to go once they've finished their GCSEs. So I go in and kind of give them a little bit of help. And there's one story in particular, one guy that I've been working with, and I'm going to call him Bertie. Sorry, I don't know whose those are, but my cape blew them off. I'm going to call him Bertie. Now, this guy, Bertie, came to the senior youth club about 3 years ago and didn't really... I built a relationship with him. He's a rugby boy, so he knows how to have a bit, have a laugh and stuff like that. And I said to him a while ago, I'm going to go into my Great Marlow School and I'm going to start doing this one-to-one mentoring. And he goes, oh, I see a guy in there. And I was like, okay, if you ever want to come and see me in school, then feel free. He was like, no, I'm all right. I'm seeing this guy. I'm seeing this other guy. It's perfectly fine. And I went, okay, cool. He kept on coming along to the youth club. And then in September this year, or in 2015, sorry, he came up to me and he went, Dan, I really need to come in and see you. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll arrange it with the school. So I kind of, with the school, I get referred young people that they think I need to see. So on this occasion, I went into the school and I went, can you refer this lad, Bertie, to me because he's requested it and I think he needs some support. So I've been seeing him. And this lad is going, he's not one that is particularly neat, but he is one that is going through some personal stuff at home with regards to his parents, his weight. He's quite obese and he has a few issues surrounding that, but the main thing is his parents and the relationship that he has with his parents. And so when the first time that he turned up to speak to me, and literally every time we've met up since then, the first thing he does is cry his eyes out. Every time. And so I've been seeing him for 6 months, and there was this one, some of the times I started talking about the Bible. And just not the way that I think about the Bible with regards to these young people that I talk to is not preaching it. It's by going, it's a guidebook. I'm going to tell you some stuff about the Bible and what I get out of it. And I just want you to look at it as a book of life, a guidebook to life. So I bought him a Bible and gave it to him at youth club and talked to him about prayer and talked to him about which books to read and just basic stuff. And I pretty much left him to it. And his attitude to it was, I'm going to keep it secret because if I go home and I tell my dad, he'll basically tell me I've got a man up, a bit like, Dave changing his nappy. You got a man up. That's for weaklings and stuff like that. And so he went away. He kept it secret, but he came back and he'll just go, I read this book. You told me to read this book and I've read it. And I'm not sure what I believe. I'm not sure if I believe that there's something out there, but I do believe that someone is listening to me. Someone's hearing what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's wicked. That's wicked. So, from there, he's had that Bible. He's kept on. I keep asking him about it and just saying, he's just reading it. And, he goes through bits. It depends on how his life is. He might look at it. He might not. But it's got to a point now where just before Christmas, I said to him, you need to go and see a doctor. Something's got to be done. I can give you so much, but you've got to go and see a doctor because of your moods and what's going on. He asked his mum. His mum kept on forgetting. So it got to a point where I said to him, I want you to go home tonight and I want you to tell your mum to call the doctors in front of you right there and then so that she gets it done. And he was like, okay. 2 weeks later, he said he did it. And he booked a doctor's appointment. And since then, it's gone from him being in a place where he literally would only talk to me. And this is once a week on a Monday for an hour. That's it. That's his only release from everything that's going on in his life. And I was going, we've got to do more than that. And so he's now been referred to CAMHS, which is Child and Adult Mental Health Service. The doctor refused to help him because he was too young, but referred him to CAMHS. He's now with CAMHS. They're talking with the parents and going through all the issues with the parents with him. They've authorised a doctor to prescribe him some antidepressants if he wants them. And I saw him on Monday. And when I walked into school, and I went into LGS, which is just up the road there, which is Learning Guidance and Support, they said to me, "Have you seen Bertie today?" And I said, "No." And I said, "No, I hadn't seen him. And they said, "He looks like a different kid. He's got colour in his cheeks. Sorry. And he didn't cry when I first saw him." That's the work we do at the youth club. There you go. That's a bit about it. If you want to get involved, come up and talk to me, because we're always looking for volunteers. I've got a wicked team of volunteers, but if anybody wants to get involved, come and talk to me.
Yes, so, you know, I wanted to give a real focus and highlight on that. And if there's anything that you're doing and you think everyone else needs to know, then come and see me and let me know, because we want to honour all of these things that are happening. We do some other things. There's the Santa Fun Run coffee tent. I've just recently, on Dave's direction, bought a bright orange gazebo. So at least they'll know what that's about. I think we probably have to put some branding on it. And I hope they, so that's, we've got this big green, orange gazebo. And if anybody needs that for an outreach event you want to do, you can use it. Wycombe, as you know, is ongoing. Love Marlowe is happening again. And Keith is the heading up the charge. And Dave very much involved as well. So this comes, I'm getting to the end, folks. You've all got one of these on your seats. I want you to take this home. I want you to put it either in your diary, if you still have a hard copy one, or put it on your fridge, or put it in your office and pin it to the wall. All right, now on the back are all the things that I was aware of. I've forgotten which umbrella's which now. That's the church one. So these are all the different things that the church is operating, and you're welcome to get involved with any of these. River Life, yes, the youth clubs, but all these other things here. And if I've missed any off, then forgive me, but I have left you 1, 2, 3, 4 spaces to write things in. And I've put who's responsible for the particular ministry and who you can contact with their email address. So either talk to them or actually send them an email. Say, look, I'd really like to know more about this. Can we chat? All right, so take this. The I'm sure you all do at least 3 hours Bible study every morning, and you don't have any problems. But if you're wondering what you could look at, read the beginning of Isaiah, all right, and go up to Isaiah 6, verse 8. I mean, he's painting a, well, he gets a bit emotional, Isaiah, but and poetic. But you read what he said. He's looking at his country. It's a complete mess. Judah and Israel are split up. You know, I don't know whether they had a referendum before they did it, but it's a complete mess. The society is breaking down. People are totally into idolatry. They're not interested in God particularly. There's all sorts of stuff. They have no interest in green issues. So for any of you green issue people, they're showing a total disregard to that, and there's a lot of idolatry. And God is getting seriously irritated, and Isaiah is prophesying about what's going to happen as a result. And then in Isaiah 6, verse 8, or just before, actually, Isaiah 6, if you read 3 to 8, having seen all these things in verse 5, "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then it carries on. And in the end, in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" And I think when we look at all the nightmare-y stuff that's going on in the world, God's saying to us, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us. And what I want is really for us all to say, here I am, send me. So what I want to do is I want you to just bow your heads and just think. Think about all the things you've heard. Think about the ministries that River Marlow is already involved with. What could you do more? What could you be involved with? If you're doing lots of things under the red umbrella already and you don't have any extra time, then that's fine. I bless you in what you're doing. If you are involved with lots of things under the blue umbrella, then that's fine. But if you've got some spare time, if you haven't actually found anything that you've wanted to get involved with, then really pray to God and say, Lord, what can I do? What can I get involved with? Because I want to ooze more. I want to just spread out the love of Jesus more in my community. My vision for this church is that we will have three times as many members of this church within 2 years. I want it to double in 1 year. Because as we reach out and touch these different people, they'll want to know the Jesus that we know and they'll want to come and join us. So let me just pray. Lord Jesus, I think we're doing quite a lot of good stuff, but we want to do more. Lord, we love you. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, but we want to really be you in the community here. We want Marlow to be a different place. We want to see everybody. We want to have a revival in this place. We want to be sitting in Burgess and we want to see the Holy Spirit come down and people looking over their shoulders, they can't see what, they don't understand what's going on. We want to see people weeping because they suddenly become aware of the sins within their lives and wanting to know more. And we want to be able to say to them, look, Jesus loves you. Why don't you pray? So Lord, pray you give us lots of visions. Lots of visions, not just of the things that we've already doing, but also some new things that we can do. I mean, I was reading, Lord, the other day about walking football. There's no reason why somebody here couldn't get a vision for that and then decide to arrange a walking football league in Marlow. I think that would be quite cool. Somebody mentioned the other day about a casserole club where we put on a lunch for the community and people bring casseroles and then we just get to know people. We've talked about dads and lads camps and that would be a great thing to do as well. Lord, Chris does a book club. We could all do some book clubs. I think that would be cool. But Lord, I pray that you'll use all the gifting, all the creativity that people have here. We won't try and control everything, but we will just want to release people. We want to release people into a closer walk with you as they reach out and touch the people that you love. Because we just acknowledge that, Lord, that you so loved the world. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And we just want to reach out and touch people with your heart. And we want to see them coming into a fullness of life where we can share their burdens and we can share their joys and we can encourage people into a new freedom in their lives. Amen.